You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we're going to be discussing Arsenal's latest defeat in the Premier League, a third successive home defeat for Mikel Arteta's side. This time, it's come at the hands of Wolverhampton Wanderers. On this show, I'm going to be bringing you my views, my thoughts and my takeaways from the game. And we're also going to be taking some of you guys' calls in the second half of the program. So if you want to have your say on what you witnessed tonight, if you want to have your say on what's going wrong with Mikel Arteta's Arsenal, if you want to have your say on anything Arsenal, all you need to do is head over to Twitter, DM us at Chronicles_AFC. If you're watching us live on YouTube, you'll see that rolling across the bottom of your screen and we will ping you a link right back, a link that is accessible from your phone, from your laptop, from your tablet, wherever you want. We can bring you on. We'll get your thoughts live right here as we try and make sense of another disappointing Arsenal performance, another disappointing Arsenal defeat. It's getting a little bit worrying now, I've got to say. And fingers crossed, we see a turnaround of fortune sooner rather than later. But tonight was just, it was one of those games that from the very first minute, I thought you could kind of tell that Arsenal weren't at the races again. And it's been a bit of a problem, hasn't it? We've been starting games not very well. Mikel Arteta stood there in front of the press after the game and spoke about the fact that we did create enough chances to win it and that usual stuff. I still felt that we didn't create enough clear-cut chances anyway. But we're going to get into the ins and outs of it. We're going to get into the debate. I'm going to ask you guys, first of all, if you haven't already, make sure you smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you are new. Get involved, support the channel, and we're going to be bringing you these post-match reaction shows / fan phone-ins a lot more regularly now. So get involved and we look forward to hearing from as many of you guys as possible throughout the programs. Right, let's get into it. Without any further ado, let's look at the team that Mikel Arteta started the game with. It was Bernd Leno in goal, as expected. It was Bellerin, it was Luiz, it was Gabriel, and it was Tierney at the back. In the middle of the park, it was Ceballos and Xhaka with Joe Willock, with Willian starting from the right, Saka starting from the left, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang through the middle. Now, for those of you who watched or listened to the preview show earlier on, it came out on Friday night, so if you got a chance to listen to that, you would have heard me say that I didn't want to see Arsenal play with a back four against Wolverhampton Wanderers because they're a side I feel and I felt have enough attacking threat, enough attacking prowess to cause us problems. And we've seen that when we've switched to the back four, we've defended nowhere near as well. And add to that the fact that we still don't create any more opportunities than we were with the back three. It just feels like an unnecessary move. It feels like a silly risk. Now, us as fans, we might be partly responsible for that because we've all been banging on fan shows like this, on radio phone-ins, on social media, about the fact that we want to see Arsenal play more openly, more expansively. We need to see Arsenal create chances, etc., etc., etc. And Mikel maybe is starting to worry about the lack of creativity. Mikel is starting to worry about the lack of goals. And that has, I think, influenced him in abandoning actually what was good about Mikel Arteta's Arsenal side. Now, yes, it was boring at times. Yes, we weren't scoring enough goals. Completely agree with that. But what I'm saying is, I feel like Mikel's panicked a little bit, pushed the panic button, changed the system. And now the one thing that Mikel Arteta's Arsenal were doing better than Unai Emery's Arsenal and Arsene Wenger's Arsenal was defending. And that has now gone out the window because of this changing system, because we feel the need, we feel the pressure to go and play football in a certain way. LK in the comments says, really, Harry, you're going to blame the fans? No, I'm not blaming the fans for Mikel Arteta changing the system. Jesus. Come on. I'm saying that as fans, it's what we all wanted. So now we can't say, oh, you know, well, what's he doing? We all wanted it. Every single one of us, me included, we all sat there and moaned about the fact that we're playing this boring, negative football. And what I'm saying is, I think the fact that we haven't scored goals and the noises that are sort of floating around the Arsenal world at the moment maybe have made Mikel Arteta doubt himself and rethink his strategy, rethink his approach. I'm not saying I blame the fans. Jesus Christ, it's not the fans' fault when the team don't perform. It's down to Mikel Arteta to get a tune out of these players. It's down to the players to perform. You know, we're not being paid tons of money to go out on the pitch and do the job or to think about what way Arsenal should play. All I'm saying is there's been so much noise about a lack of creativity, a lack of goals. You see it in every single interview or press conference Mikel Arteta does. The first question is, are you worried about the lack of goals? Are you worried about the lack of creativity? And in trying to fix that, he's undone the good work that he did defensively in the first place. That is my point here. Looking at the starting lineup, I didn't have any complaints about it, to be honest with you. I really didn't. You know, yes, hindsight is a wonderful thing. It's easy to look back on games and say he should have done this or he should have done that. You know, Aubameyang's only had one game through the middle, that game against Leeds. So you'd probably, you know, forgive Mikel for thinking that that was the way to do it. Again, Joe Willock, again, played well in Europe in that kind of slightly more advanced midfield role. You know, there's no Nicolas Pepe available. So Saka and Willian are the two wingers. Maybe you'd make an argument that Reece Nelson should have played. I'm not 100% sure about that. I'm not 100% sure I would have made that decision. So, you know, as I said, I don't have any real complaints about the initial starting lineup. I don't think anybody should. I did wonder why it took him so long to change things when things clearly weren't working. And, you know, we I guess at the beginning of the game, obviously the start and the tempo with which the game began was kind of interrupted, wasn't it, by the clash of heads between Raul Jimenez and David Luiz. And first of all, I want to say I hope that Raul Jimenez is okay. We've heard that he's conscious, he's okay, he's responding to treatment. So, you know, fingers crossed that is the case, and I hope he makes a speedy recovery. I found it astounding that David Luiz was allowed to continue after that clash of heads. Now, we hear a lot about the protocols. What kind of protocols allow a guy who's bleeding from his head, looks like he might even have a bloody broken nose based on what I saw, how has he been allowed to continue? It's baffling. It's absolutely baffling. And for me, you know, in a time where we're talking about players going on to have a greater chance of picking up things like dementia later on in life because they're heading the ball too much, we've got to take this decision out of the player's hand. It shouldn't be down to David Luiz to decide whether or not he's okay to continue. The manager, the protocol, the referees, the official, whoever should force the issue. He should be taken out of the picture after an injury like that. I genuinely believe that. I really, really do. Then, of course, Wolves managed to get the opener and Kieran Tierney got absolutely roasted down the left-hand side by Adama Traore. Now, look, I'm not going to go in too hard on Kieran Tierney there because anybody would get roasted by Adama Traore. The guy's physical attributes are incredible. Not only is he strong, he's lightning fast, and he's added in the last couple of seasons a lot more end product when he gets into those positions. He makes things happen now. It was a good cross into the penalty area. My issue, rather than sort of having a go at Kieran Tierney for getting skinned, because as I said, there are very few players in world football that wouldn't get skinned by him. I think Arsenal have got to deal with the cross. The cross comes into the penalty area. Not only do we lose the initial header, but when the ball comes back off the crossbar, Wolverhampton Wanderers are the quickest to react. And it just, you know, you compare that attack to our attack in terms of their sharpness, in terms of their awareness of what's going on, in terms of their movement, in terms of getting in the right positions when they see one of their players in a wide position, because they trust that and they know that Adama Traore has what it takes to get beyond this man and put that ball into the box. We saw countless times tonight balls coming into the Wolves penalty area from Arsenal players from wide areas, and there was a couple of occasions where they were cleared at the near post. And you're thinking to yourself, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, you're supposed to be a world-class centre-forward. Get across your man. Take a gamble. Come to the near post. Get to the near post and try and make something happen. But Arsenal were not interested. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was not interested. And he's not the only one. So I don't want you to think that I'm only digging out Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But he's not performing. He's simply not performing. I don't care if he's on a mega contract. I don't care how good he was last season. At this moment in time, he's not performing. And Mikel is sticking with him, hoping that he's just going to get one goal and click back into gear and click back into form. But it's not happening at the minute. It's really not happening. We're really, really struggling in all areas of the pitch. I spoke at the top of the program about the switch to a back four. It's not working for us. It isn't working for us. And I'd rather we go into games knowing that at the very least we're going to be defensively tight and maybe we'll nick something at the other end. You know, and I think we'll pick up more points playing that way than trying to be this more open, more expansive side because of the noises about a lack of goals, because of the noises about a lack of creativity. I really do think that that's the way Mikel has to go. He has to go back to the basics that got him to a point where he was respected by the fans. Because at the moment, in doing what he's doing, he's undoing the good work that was done initially. And there was some good work done initially. You know, whenever people talk about Mikel Arteta's tenure and they judge whether or not we've progressed, the first thing they say is, yeah, we're a lot more resilient. You know, at the very least, Mikel has made Arsenal more resilient. But has he? Has Mikel Arteta made Arsenal more resilient? He had. But now it feels like we're going the other way in that sense. And it's a real, real concern. You know, there are so many questions that need to be answered at the club at the moment. You know, we're sitting here every week and we're watching this dreadful team struggle to break people down, struggle to unlock defences. And we've got Mesut Ozil sitting at home. I know a lot of you don't like Mesut Ozil. I know a lot of you don't want him anywhere near the side. But come and tell me now, I dare you, come and tell me now that Mesut Ozil is not in the side for purely footballing reasons. It's absolute nonsense. The club are lying to us. They spent fortunes on players that we don't even think are good enough. It's just been a mess from top to bottom. And so while I will sit here and question Mikel Arteta's game plans, Mikel Arteta's decisions, because I will, I'm at that point now. You also have to look at the bigger picture and look at the mess that this club is in. It's in an absolute mess from top to bottom. We spent £72 million on Nicolas Pepe. Okay. Now, obviously, he was suspended today. He's going to be suspended for a couple more games, but he hasn't delivered on the price tag. He hasn't delivered on the investment. William Saliba, £27 million centre back, can't even get in the squad. You know, there's other players. There's Guendouzi, who at this moment in time, you know, and I wasn't always his biggest fan. Matteo Guendouzi, I thought at times he was tactically very ill-disciplined. But there's Matteo Guendouzi. Now tell me that he couldn't have done a better job tonight than Granit Xhaka or Dani Ceballos did. They were both dreadful. That's as bad as I've seen both of them play. They were shocking all over the park. And for the second goal, you see Granit Xhaka get skinned by Adama Traore. Again, I'm not going to go in on one player for getting skinned by Adama Traore. Most would, as I said. But then after that, it's so, you know, you cut through one player and you're on our back four and that's it. And you could see in Neto, in Adama, you know, in the young lad when he came in, his name has just completely gone out of my head. Apologies. The guy that came on for Raul Jimenez, Silva, you know, you could see that Wolves were sharper. They were quicker. They were direct. Daniel Podesa, what a wonderful piece of skill that was to lift the ball over Gabriel and put it into the back of the net. But the thing is, you don't look around that Arsenal squad and see a player with that ability in terms of our forward line at this moment in time. maybe a confident Arsenal frontline produce moments like that. But right now, we are nowhere near that. Pedro Neto, every time he got the ball, picks it up, drives at our team, driving for that center for the penalty spot all the time, trying to get in the box as soon as possible, trying to make things happen, sharp, quick, direct. And you've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang strolling around up front. You've got Willian, who, yeah, he put in a good cross for Gabriel's goal, but, you know, that was it. That was it from Willian. I thought Bukayo Saka was dreadful tonight. Absolutely dreadful. He offered us nothing. Nothing. And as I keep saying, and I've said it time and time again on this program over the last few years, when people bang that drum and say, oh, we've got so many talented youngsters, these youngsters should be playing every week, you know, build with them, build with them. You'd never get consistency from youngsters. And if you do get consistency, it means, well, they're going to be one of the top, top players and they're not going to stick around at Arsenal anymore. The Willocks, the Nelsons, the Sackers, they'll show brilliance in flashes, but they're not good enough. They're not bloody good enough. It's as simple as that. It really is as simple as that. Now, a couple of other things I was annoyed about. Not substituting David Luiz. I've already touched on that because I thought that he should have just been brought off straight away. I thought that decision should have been taken out of his hands. And then Arsenal take him off at halftime and you're thinking, well, why did you leave him on then? You know, Mikel Arteta said in his post-match interview, and I've only read the transcript, by the way, with the chat that he gave to BBC Sport, because I came on online to do this straight away, and I will be watching all of that later, so feel free to tell me anything different or correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. But, you know, he says that, oh, David Luiz was uncomfortable. He couldn't head the ball, so we decided to take him off because his cut was bleeding. It was obvious he wasn't going to be able to head the ball when you saw his head gushing out with blood after that clash with Raul Jimenez. How stupid are we? How naive are we as a football club? So what you're essentially saying, Mikel, is we played, because that incident happened on around about the 6th minute, right? Then there was 10 minutes of stoppage time, whatever, 6 minutes. So you're saying to me, we played 39 minutes of a half with a centre back that couldn't head the ball comfortably. That's what you're essentially saying to me, Mikel. It's not good enough. Make the decision, make the change. You know, it's just the mismanagement all over the pitch, all over the club from top to bottom. It's all shining through now. And it's simply not good enough. You know, I don't understand how there are Arsenal fans out there. And listen, I would love to sit here, okay, and say, trust the process. You know, because I do like Mikel Arteta and I want him to succeed. It would be disingenuous of me. It would be a lie if I was to sit here and say that I'm not starting to ask questions now. How can you not? After a third successive home defeat, it's our lowest points total at this point in the Premier League season. Mikel Arteta is breaking all the wrong records at the moment. And I don't put the blame fully on him. I really don't. I don't. But there have to be questions asked of him. Ultimately, when you become the manager of Arsenal Football Club, you are responsible for the results and the performances. Yes, we can take into account other factors, such as the players that you've got at your disposal. We can take into account, you know, the fact that the recruitment previously has been bad and it's going to take time to sort that out and to make that overhaul. But ultimately, Mikel Arteta is responsible for the performances of this side. And, you know, unfortunately, if results continue to go south, he's going to be in serious trouble. He's going to be under serious pressure. And I hate to say that because I was one of the people that really bought into Mikel Arteta at the very beginning. I really did. But you're the manager. You are the manager. And so you have to be responsible for the results. You have to be responsible for the performances. That's just the way it is. Right, that's enough from me because I'm going to be bringing you more podcasts throughout the week. So there's plenty of time for me to ramble on about what we saw this evening at the Emirates Stadium. So now it's time to take some of you guys' calls. And I'm delighted to welcome on, first of all, Raheel. Welcome to the program, mate. How you doing?
I've had better days, Harry. How are you?
Yeah. I feel your pain, my friend. Yeah, I've had better days too. No doubt about it. What do you think went wrong tonight, Raheel. It was a kind of display that we've become a little bit used to now, haven't we?
Especially at home. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know where to start, Harry. I mean, look, the lineup was all right. I don't think many would have complained with the lineup with the players that we have available, right? But then first half was absolutely atrocious. You know, I feel like I say this every week. This was the worst half of football I've seen Arsenal play in my lifetime. And this has become like a regular thing. So, like I was listening to you earlier and you mentioned, you know, Arteta drifted away from a defensive setup to a more attacking setup. But now we can't attack or defend. So what was the point of changing that? And then in the second half, it looked like we had a little bit more attacking prowess about us, but that's because Wolves sat so deep and let us come onto them. So they were actually working to their game plan, and we had a few chances, but our striker, Aubameyang, has been absolutely woeful. I mean, I know he hasn't been getting much chances, but he did have opportunities where he could have made the runs, and you know, he jumped up for a couple of headers, completely mistimed them, didn't get any power behind it. I mean, I know he's not good in the air, but you know, as a striker, as a finisher, you need to have something about that. He looks completely, I don't know, after he's signed his contract, he just looks out of it. He doesn't look interested in the game. I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, Harry, there's so many issues. Defensively, we look shocking. Going forward, we don't look like we're going to score at any point in time. I mean, Gabriel had a brilliant header. I think that was the best thing we got out of the game. But otherwise, worrying signs, Harry. I came on just after that we won the FA Cup. And, you know, I was really praising Mikel Arteta. I had a lot of faith in him. There were good signs. But now questions have to be asked because he is the ultimate person who selects the teams. And, you know, he puts out the players. And I just read apparently Partey is out for a long time, longer than we expected. Arteta just said that in his press conference. So
it's terrible news, isn't it? It's terrible news. But the thing is, Raheel, like going back to that point that you raised rightly about the fact that we've abandoned the defensive system to try and be a little bit more open, little bit more expansive, and now we can neither attack or defend. This is where, for me, Mikel has to be strong. He has to stick with what's been working. You know, we weren't playing Burnley at home tonight. We weren't playing Fulham at home tonight. We were playing against a very good Wolverhampton Wanderers side, a side that we all know have good attacking capabilities. Yes, they've not always fired this season, but you look at that team on paper and you can see there is quality there. Why open us up, particularly when we're on this run, at a time where, for me, you know, a point, if we had got a point, let's have it right, everybody would still be up in arms.
Yeah,
but like I said, we'd have had more chance of winning this game, I think, going with the pragmatic approach that Mikel has often favoured during his Arsenal career, and he's now abandoned that. Raheel, I'm going to have to just I'm going to give you one more question just because I've got a couple of other people waiting as well.
Sure.
I want to get through as many calls as we can between now and the end of the programme. If you haven't already, make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to 90 Min as well, as we continue to bring you more Arsenal content over the coming months and hopefully years. So what's the situation for you now, Raheel? If Mikel Arteta gets beaten in the North London derby next week, where would you stand on his management?
Well, I think we will get beaten next week. I have no confidence. And anyone out there, I think they're being really, really optimistic. I still think it will be a little bit early to sack him. I mean, what do we do? We sack him and then what? I've seen a few people in the comments saying Pochettino. I don't think that's the answer. The problems at Arsenal are so deep-rooted that just changing a manager is not going to sort anything. Unai Emery came in, had that 22 unbeaten run, and we were like, okay, we have a little bit of hope. We see there's something changing, and then it all went down the drain. Arteta came in, won the FA Cup, won the Community Shield. You know, we looked like we were on the up again, had a little bit of hope. It's coming now. It's going down again, crashing. So Wenger, towards the end of his career, you know, he won a few FA Cups and we're like, okay, this is what we can, you know, build on. And it came crashing down again. So this is like, it's a cycle. It's been happening over the last 5-6 years. And something, we've changed We've changed our backroom staff. We've changed the board. The only thing that's still constant is the owners. Everyone that was there during the Wenger era is gone. The backroom scout, the scouts, like there's no one left except the owners. So obviously the blame has to go to the owners because they make the decision, the ultimate decisions. And I don't know, like if we, I would still stick with Arteta, see what he can do. Maybe in January, get a couple of players. Again, the owners need to come in and help him out. I mean, if Arteta got 200 million like Frank Lampard did, I don't think we would be in the position we are in. The players are not good enough. I don't think the players are good enough. And I don't know, man. This is like it's so difficult to point like at the blame at one person. It has to be spread out throughout the club. So I would stick with him for a few more games and make a decision in January. If we are still 15th, 16th, then I think they will be forced to make a change. But till then, just stick with him and hopefully, you know, that he can
turn it around. Yeah. Exactly. Rahul, thank you so much, mate. Thanks, really Harry. Appreciate you coming on. Cheers, mate.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
That was the brilliant Rahul. Don't forget, smash the like button if you haven't already. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Do you agree with what these guys are saying? Do you disagree? If you disagree, you're also welcome onto the show. We all have a right to an opinion here. As long as it's put forward in a respectful manner, I've got no issues with any of the opinions. But I'm not going to have people in the chat slating the people that are on here sharing their views because it takes... It takes balls to come on here and share your opinions about football, given the nature of the Arsenal fan base. So if you want to have your say, all you got to do, DM us on Twitter at Chronicles_AFC, and we'll ping you a link right back. Welcome to the show, David. How you doing, mate? Welcome.
I was a lot better before 7:15 tonight. I don't know about you.
Yeah, me too, mate. Me too. I think for me, the big frustration with this is that we've seen this story over and over again. We've seen this performance over and over again where the defensive lapses are still there and the offensive creativity, the offensive, the offensive ability just seems to have evaded us at the moment. Mikel will say we had chances and we did have a few, but it weren't enough, was it?
The lack of firepower was probably far more alarming than the fact that Wolves managed to get. Yeah, look, we can't keep saying this with different games, but my word, it keeps happening. Look at the two goals today. Yes, Dendonka should have actually scored when he hit the bar with a header, but it still bounced back out to Neto and it still bounced off two players and went in. And then the second one, I don't know where Bellerin was going for the second goal, quite frankly, but it deflects off Bellerin and then Leno makes a smart save. And then Gabriel somehow avoids managing to make a foul in the box with Podence stepping over him very cleverly. But it's still a little bit of luck, a little bit of bad luck. Some goes your way, some doesn't go your way. And I was watching the game tonight with a fan of the team up the Seven Sisters Road, and he commented that even when you need a little bit of luck to go your way, almost every second ball tonight went not just to Wolves, that's one thing, but away from Arsenal. Every second ball, every little thing that you need. And the best example of that is about a minute or so before Wolves' second goal, Aubameyang, a ball was played into the box. It was about 5 yards behind Aubameyang. He didn't even make a move for it. He didn't move for it. You're so right when you say that the attacking firepower isn't there. You know, the comments are right. I'm reading the comments down the side where they're saying, you know, we need to sell a lot of these players in January. It's all well and good saying we need to sell them. Who's going to buy them? Mustafi. We wanted to get rid of Mustafi this summer. No one wants to come in and buy him. Who's going to come in for Lacazette? Who's going to come in for Mesut Ozil, except for this Saudi club that's apparently willing to make him, I don't know, a member of the royal family or something?
It's a hard one because we've got issues there that are a consequence of having bad players at the football club. Bad players who we've overpaid for, bad players who we value at a much higher price than anybody is willing to pay. But then you look at some of the other decisions and you completely sit there with your head in your hands and you wonder, how have we got to this point? For example, nobody in the world is going to persuade me that Mesut Ozil is being left out of this squad for football reasons. Now, if something else has gone down, I would have much more respect for the club if they came out and said it. Stop beating around the bush. Is this... I don't even really want to swear on here, but after a night like this, it's this kind of pussy attitude at Arsenal that has got us into this position where we are.
Is that where we're going with swearing? Because I can go a lot worse based on that performance tonight.
I mean, you look at some of the other clubs that, you know, have fallings out with their players and they take the hard stance, but then they back it up. They back it up. They deal with it, you know, and they come out and they say their piece and they say what they got to say. But Arsenal would just keep continuously go, you know, it's football reasons. No, it's fucking not football reasons.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way it can be footballing reasons. Partly because, I mean, a lot of people say it's to do with the comments about China. It may be, but he did play 13 times after those comments and he played in almost all the games leading up to the first lockdown. Those of us who were there at the West Ham game, the last game before this Thursday that fans are allowed back in.
Yeah.
Ozil got the assist, his only assist of the Premier League last season. And in fact, his last assist in an Arsenal shirt by the look of it. You've said really all that there is to say because it seems ridiculous, but it would also be worth saying to everyone who is lucky enough, or should that be, unfortunate enough to have a ticket for next Thursday, good luck, really. I know the Europa League. I know the Europa League. We've been better in the Europa League. 12 points out of 12. 12
conceded. Look who we're playing. That's the point.
But we are playing. And Vienna aren't bad. Mulder are all right. I mean, Mulder were enough for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to get the job at the biggest club in England that managed to sign a 32-year-old. Oh, how old is Cavani? On a free transfer who scores two for them today.
Yeah, agreed.
That must be nice. Even as a Man United fan, even with the joke results that they've had this season, even losing to us, who the hell loses to us this season? That they still felt at 2-0 down away from home against a decent side who we've got to come play in the next few weeks, that, they might actually get a comeback here. They might actually do something. The Ozil thing, it's almost a red herring. It's not so much that Ozil would be good. It's that what we're playing in replacement of him, Joe Willock, I'm going to stick my neck on the line here. I think Joe Willock might have been the best Arsenal player on the pitch today. Not that that's a particularly high bar to clear, but I don't think what Joe Willock did was actually bad, especially towards the end of that
season. I thought he
advanced the ball quite well.
I thought he had some drive. He had some energy and that was lacking in the rest of the team. David, I'm going to have to leave it there, mate, just because I've got a few more callers lined up. Where are you joining us from tonight, David?
Joining from London.
Lovely. Good stuff. Down the road. David, thank you so much, mate. Speak to you soon.
Cheers. Good luck, everyone.
Cheers. That was David. Thank you so much, mate. Right, guys, I want to gauge a little bit of an understanding in the live chat, whether you guys are Arteta in, Arteta out. Just stick it in the chat, in or out. Let me know. Smash the like button while you're at it. Keep the good comments coming. Welcome back to the programme. Saad, how you doing, mate? Where are you joining us from?
Hi, Harry. Thank you for having me on. I'm joining you from the UAE. How are you?
Lovely. Yeah, all good, mate. All good. I think there's a little bit of a lag, but don't worry. Carry on. Yep, I can hear you. There's just a little bit of a lag. Don't worry. What do you want to say on the Arsenal tonight? Take it away, mate.
Firstly, I don't want to pick out any single player like you said you saw yourself, but I want to highlight Xhaka because I really dislike this player. I feel like offensively, he doesn't score, he doesn't assist, he doesn't make chances, he doesn't dribble, he can't beat a press. Defensively, he can't tackle. He can't dribble.
Go ahead, mate.
He can't. So defensively, he offers nothing as well, basically. So I really, really dislike this player. Moving on, because I don't want to just pick on one single player. On this game itself, it just gave us more questions than answers, basically. It leaves us with the question of, the first question is Arteta good enough? Depending on how you view it, he won us trophies, he won us the FA Cup, the Community Shield, he got us Europa League, he beat all the big boys. And then on the other hand, you can look at it as in, Maybe he's not the right man because he has out of our last 10 games, we've lost 5. We've been losing at home. We've been conceding at home. Our defensive record is spiraling. We're not scoring enough goals. So there's a lot of things to say. Is he the right man? Is he not? In the end, we don't know, and there's no way to know because he has no track record elsewhere. So that's hard to choose. In the end, I don't know if he'll be given enough time to prove whether or not he's the right man or not, because at the end of the day, you need to win points. And points are basically the currency for time as a manager. The more points you win, the more time you have. The less points you win, less time you have, basically. So I'm just left with a lot of questions after this game.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one, Saad, mate. Saad, my friend, I'm going to have to leave it there just because there's a massive lag. I'm not sure why, but we'll get you back on next time. And I'll get you on from the beginning and give you a bit more time. Apologies, mate. It's just because of the lag. But thank you so much, mate.
Yeah.
Cheers, buddy.
Take care.
That was the brilliant Saad. Really really a shame that there was a bit of a lag there because Saad makes some great points. Right, let's move on to our next caller. David, can you hear me, mate? David, are you there? Hello, David. Don't think David can hear us. Let's move on to our next caller. How you doing, mate? What's your name and where you join us from?
Hi, Harry. My name is Mason. I'm from Canada this evening.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm
not
very
too bad,
well,
my friend.
Thanks. Had a hard time, you know, watching what we all watched. Just wanted to make a quick point, Harry. I know you have a backlog as well. I just think in terms of getting improvements in this team, if you look at Liverpool, which is kind of a role model, Jurgen Klopp won the league with a team that had only 2 players from the team that he took over. That's really important for me. You know, like, you cannot, you know, Arteta doesn't have a magic wand. You know, he cannot transform this team to a title winning or a top 4 contender side without necessarily changing the players. We only have, just look at the Liverpool model. This is really the conundrum for us, because if we want to get rid of him right now, who are we going to bring in? People say Pochettino. Pochettino is not going to come to Arsenal. You know, he's a Spurs man. He's not going to come to us. Who are we going to get in? Are we going to get these marquee managers? They're not going to come to Arsenal. They're not going to come to Mets. You know, the likes of Allegri and all like that. They're not going into a club without having significant assurance in terms of spending and all those things. I just don't think if you sack this manager right now and do not let him to transform the squad, to bring in the players that he needs to implement his ideas, I don't think necessarily the alternative would be able to do anything for us. I don't know what's your thought on that, but we saw the Liverpool example. You know, he changed the entire team to bring it into his mold. You know, Jurgen Klopp could not improve Lovren. Jurgen Klopp could not improve Mignolet, could not improve their defensive problem. You know, he brought in players that were suitable for his tactics. Arteta only has brought in Gabriel so far. You know, we haven't seen the benefit of Partey. He hasn't had that benefit. It was crucial to get that. Even with that, we still need 1 or 2 at least attacking players as well to make the side into the attacking formation that he wants to play. So far, the defensive side would work with Partey and Gabriel. But we definitely need a few more transfer window before we sack this manager. I don't know what your thought is.
Yeah, I feel like you make a great point when you say that, you know, sacking the manager is not necessarily the answer, because you sack him and then you start fresh again. And then you have players that Mikel Arteta has brought to the club that actually, you know, then the next manager doesn't necessarily want. And you end up, don't you, with this situation, a bit like the one at Man United, where you've got the players of 3 or 4 different coaches since Alex Ferguson, and they're all mixed, mashed together. And they're not anywhere near where they need to be still. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's had longer there than Mikel Arteta has had at Arsenal. And it's not worked, has it, really? I know they got a positive result today, but overall, those changes have not been helpful. I don't want to see Mikel Arteta sacked. I'm not at that point yet. I do have questions about some of his decisions. I have questions about some of his team selections, some of his tactics, some of his decisions in game. I think there is a lot that Mikel kind of, not that he needs to explain it to us as fans or that he should come out publicly, but there is a lot that people are going to raise, isn't there?
I actually agree with your earlier points, because the mistake that Arteta has done was actually to open up, because the previous system was actually kind of working in a way. But people got devastated with the lack of chance creation and got criticism. And he left that behind. And we ended up in the situation that we were under Unai Emery, that we could neither defend nor attack. You know, at least keep the clean sheet and be hope that you can at least win on margins when you're attacking. I think that would be better thing. But listen, all those guys were devastated. I completely get that. This is very difficult to watch. But I just don't think that the solution to that is you know, sack the manager at this point and not letting that project to form. You know, we have to get one of these project managers. You know, the marquee ones that coming in and winning the league next season or getting into top four, they want huge investment to back them up, and they're not going to come to Arsenal. We need a project person. Someone like Pochettino, someone like Arteta. But Pochettino is not going to come to us. Who is the real project manager out there that if you sack this manager who has shown some small promises at some phases, you know, who's going to come to replace him and give us that boost? I really don't know if you do that.
Yeah. No, you're right. Thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate you coming on. And we'll speak soon, I'm sure. Take care, mate. All the best.
Thanks.
Cheers. Another fantastic caller. Don't worry, guys, if you've put your name down, if you've DM'd me, I am getting around to you guys as quickly as I possibly can. Just a quick reminder of how you can get on the show. If you DM me on Twitter at @Chronicles_AFC, I will ping you back a link and I'll get through as many of you as I possibly can between now and 11 p.m. So we've got around about 20 minutes to go. Lots of you guys in the live chat making your feelings known. I'm trying to keep up with that. I'm trying to keep up with the calls. I am reading your comments, I promise. But apologies if I haven't brought as many up on the screen as I normally do. Let's go to our next caller, David. David, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
I'm good now. How are you after tonight?
Not great, mate. Not great. Where are you joining us from, my friend?
I'm in Limerick in Ireland, so not too far away, but just a bit disappointed, I suppose, after watching it. Wolves kind of just set in, really, and we never looked like scoring, I don't think, at any point in the second half.
I think you're absolutely right, mate.
We were kind of spamming crosses in for the whole second half, but there isn't really anyone, I would say, in the box that was like, he'll score a header or maybe something will come from it. Aubameyang isn't it? I can't remember him ever really scoring a header, so I didn't really get that side of it. But I suppose we probably don't have the technical ability as well to break Wolves down at the same time. So I suppose just ideas-wise, it's the first time kind of I can remember going, thinking, where do we go from here now? Because before, you'd be like, why isn't he playing this guy? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that? And at the moment, I don't see where he can go. I suppose the only thing is we are giving up a lot of chances, so maybe go back to the three at the back, I think, especially with the weekend coming anyway, because I think our best chance the weekend is sit back, play like we did in the FA Cup against Man City and Chelsea and hope to just nick a result 1-0 or 2-0. But again, will we keep clean sheets? Very unlikely.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the way to go into the North London Derby, and if you haven't subscribed to the channel, make sure you do, because we're going to be bringing you lots of build-up content to the North London Derby in the next week or so. But I think you're right. The way to go is to go back to the back three, because in many ways, Mikel's desperation to try and get his team scoring more goals, his desperation in terms of trying to get more creativity out of this side has led him to undo some of the good work that he did do earlier on in his tenure. So I certainly agree with you, mate. Where do you stand on Mikel at the moment? There's a lot of angry fans in the chat. A lot of people want to see the back of him. As I've already said, I'm not at that point yet, but where are you in terms of Mikel Arteta?
Well, I'd back him 100%. I love him as a manager. I think we needed a young coach with new ideas, new philosophy. Look, the players aren't there. There's Xhaka, Ceballos, Bellerin. David Luiz is okay. Rob Holding coming on isn't great. Willian, I didn't think he was too bad tonight. I know he got the assist. Like, it is hard. I wouldn't be his biggest fan, but Saka really didn't do much. But I suppose from an Arteta point of view, is I'd stick with him for the long term.
Just lost you there, David. Just lost you. Can you hear us still, David? No, we've lost him. David, thank you so much, mate, if you can hear me, but we've lost your connection. Thank you for joining us, though, and we'll be sure to speak to you soon, mate. All the best. Thank you. Let's have a quick look at the comments before we move on to our next caller. I can see the comments is getting a little bit heated here. That's why I want to come to this. Abdi Aziz says, Harry, you were very smart when everyone thought you were deluded when you called Emery out on AFTV. You saw the flaws. I'm surprised you have yet to see how bad Arteta is. I think, well, if I was so smart in calling out Emery, then I think that maybe we should slow down a bit on the kind of let's get rid of Mikel Arteta thing. You know, at the end of the day, I think when Unai Emery come in, Arsenal had missed out on the top four once. Or, you know, what was it? Was it twice? I think it was just once off the top of my head. Whatever. Anyway, Arsenal were a lot closer to being a Champions League side than they were by the end of Unai Emery's tenure. Unai Emery had taken us backwards. Let's not forget that last season, Unai Emery's Arsenal at the start of the campaign were abysmal. They were abysmal. And now Mikel Arteta is going through a little bit of a rough patch. You know, but as I've said time and time again, if you want Mikel Arteta sacked, that's absolutely fine. That's your opinion. But Mikel Arteta is not going anywhere. I've said it before. I've said it on here. I've said it on the radio. I've said it on podcasts. I've said it on 90 Minutes. I've said it everywhere I've been on. Okay? Mikel Arteta is not going anywhere. Forget it. You can have your opinion on whether you think he should stay, whether you think he's the right man or not. But Arsenal have hung their hat on Mikel Arteta. This is a long-term project. They've given him lots of responsibility. The kind of backing that we haven't really seen. And people will say, yeah, we've spent more in previous windows than we did this summer. But this was at a time where a global pandemic hit, where revenues were down, where the club were on their knees financially, desperately trying to offload players, and they couldn't sell them. They couldn't sell them. So what did the Kroenkes do? They funded a deal for Thomas Partey. It's the first time in their ownership that they funded any deal. So they've given this guy the backing, which suggests to me that he is staying here for the longer term, whether people like it or not. Guns and Yellow Ribbons, Fergus, check out the Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Great show. He says, Harry, why fuel the Arteta out rhetoric? I'm not fueling it, mate. The rhetoric is already out there. You know, you only have to scroll through Twitter to see how many people are fed up of Mikel Arteta. You know, I'm simply asking the question. That's what we're doing here. We're asking you guys the question. What are your thoughts? I've made mine clear. I don't want to see him sacked yet. I will ask questions about certain decisions. But as I say, I'm not looking for Mikel Arteta to be sacked yet. Not looking for that at all. If you want to have your say, send us a DM at Chronicles_AFC on Twitter. We're going to get through as many of your calls as we possibly can before the end of the program. Right, let's move on to our next caller. A big hello and a big welcome back to Colin. We're going to get a great rant now. Colin, welcome, mate.
Harry, I'm done. I'm done.
Go for it, mate. Not, take the floor.
Here's the thing. Not with Arteta. I have to make that perfectly clear. Not with Arteta. All right? These players, nah. You're done. You're done.
Who specifically? Right? Who specifically?
Xhaka, Ceballos specifically, right? I'm going to break some hearts here, right? Because there's a lot of delusional people out here. All right, Xhaka and Ceballos, bottom half level. Deal with it. Deal with it. Outside of one half against Leicester, Xhaka, and excuse my French, but Xhaka has been shit. Ceballos, You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Danny Ceballos for me is so frustrating because there are days where he looks brilliant. Right, and then there are days like today where he is awful. He's awful. I don't get how can someone be so inconsistent?
Mate, there's a reason Real Madrid don't want him.
True.
That's all I'm going to say. And I've seen the Isco links this week, right? I'm just like, nah. I'd rather have Ozil back in the squad than sign Isco, and I'm not even joking.
Right. Where do you stand on that, Colin, by the way? Because are you, I mean, we know it's not football reasons, but with every shit performance we see, with every performance where we're struggling to break people down, and we did have some chances tonight, but we, again, the overall picture in terms of our creativity wasn't good enough. Where do you stand on the Ozil thing?
Honestly, I don't think it matters. I really don't. I mean, you can, all right, it's not footballing reasons. We know this, right? This is not news to anybody, right? The club have been doing this for what? 2 years, if that? They've been saying it's footballing reasons, but it's clearly not. In my opinion, it's political reasons.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal were very quick to distance themselves from Ozil when it came to the whole China thing. Now, we know why that is. We know why that is. It's because China supply the TV money for the Premier League. That's the reason. I'm not an expert, but I know that that's a reason.
Yep.
And I just, I don't even think Ozil coming back into the squad matters. I really don't. The way I see it, I've moved past that, right? Because the club want nothing to do with him. And we have to accept that as fans, unfortunately. I'm not saying that it's the, I'm not saying that Ozil not coming back in wasn't a mistake. All I'm saying is it's done now. Move on.
Yep.
It's that simple. I'm sick and tired of these players, right? Because every time they get away with murder, every time, and I'm sick and tired of it. Xhaka and Ceballos, I've said my piece on them. They're both shit. Bellerin, shit. Don't care if he's been a great servant to the club. Look at the second goal. Bellerin, Xhaka, and Leno were all at fault for that. All of them. All right? Simple as that. I'm not hearing this Arteta out rhetoric, right? I'm not hearing it. You bring in any coach you want, doesn't make a fucking difference. No manager is getting more out of these players. And I've said that from time. And to the people that want to jump down Arteta's throat like, oh, but Arteta's proven he's not good. No. All I hear is people saying, oh, but Arteta's got a better squad than Emery. No. Wrong. These players are shit. These players are absolute dog shit. Like, Emery had a better squad than Mikel Arteta has. And what happened? Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we lose the Europa League final in an embarrassing fashion with a better squad than we've got now?
Yeah, I agree, mate. I've been beating that drum for ages. You look at some of the players Unai had at his disposal. Aaron Ramsey, you know, far better than anything we currently have in the midfield.
I'd take Aaron Ramsey back exactly. Right now.
We had Laurent Koscielny, somebody who, you know, he had his critics, but arguably Arsenal's best centre-back in the last decade.
He was mint the other night against PSG, by the way. He was brilliant exactly. The other night. Like, I don't know. I just can't be arsed with these players anymore. I really can't, you know? I mean, we had a better squad with Emery than we do now. And even then, he bottled the Europa League final in embarrassing fashion. And not to mention the fact that he bottled top four in the latter stage of the season. So I'm not hearing this, oh, Emery's better than Arteta. Fuck off. Fuck off with that. I'm not having it. Nah. Do you know the really embarrassing thing is as well? I fully expect these players to be up for Tottenham. I really do.
The game is huge now because...
Here's the thing. I'm not saying I'm confident. People are going to mistake that for confidence. It's not confidence. I just know this team, right? They'll get themselves up for the big games. But when it comes to the games against Wolves, the games against Villa, the games against Leeds, and those are just our last couple games, by the way, not to mention the other ones before it, they cannot be arsed.
Yeah, you're
right. They can't be arsed. Like, we've had, okay, let's look at it. Wenger, Emery, Freddie, and now Arteta. That's four managers. At what point do the players, like, at what point do the people start calling out the players instead of the managers?
But that's the thing. But the thing is, Colin, like, I'm going to have to leave it there just because we've got a couple more callers and I need to get through them before we lock off at 11. But I guess the kind of final point I want to make is, I get what you're saying. I don't solely blame Mikel Arteta and I don't want him out. I think I've been... I know you don't,
but there's some idiots that do, unfortunately.
Yeah, agreed. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is at some point, the manager has to be responsible for it. And we can look at all the things around him and we can understand, you know, that it, you know, it's going to take time because of X, Y, Z. But ultimately, as the manager of this football club, if he's not getting results, he is going to get criticism, isn't he? Colin, how can people keep up with you, by the way, on social media, mate? Because I know you've got a channel of your own. Give it a plug.
Do you know what? The sad thing is I actually put more effort into doing the work with that than these players do on the pitch. That's the sad part as well.
You and me both.
Jesus Christ. But listen, it's at cmatch91 on Twitter. If you want to talk to me about anything, be it Football Manager and, you know, or anything else. Hell, if you just want my opinion on something, you know, that's my Twitter, bruv. Just tweet me and we'll be good. As long as you don't come at me with stupidity, we're good. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But also, Much Arsenal is the name of the YouTube channel, and we do a weekly podcast, Arsenal and Chill, with Ola, which, I mean... I don't even know what chaos
is. It's not going to be very chill this week, is it?
No, Colin, it's not.
Thank you so much, mate.
And I'm most likely going to be doing another We Need to Talk as well, because, I mean, after today, how can I not do one?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate you coming on, and we'll speak soon, pal.
Damn right, Harry. See you later.
Cheers, mate. That was the brilliant Colin. Right, don't forget, if you haven't already, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel if you're new. Welcome back to the show. Fergus from Guns and Yellow Ribbons, how you doing, mate?
I'm very happy.
You're not the only one, mate. It's written all over your face. Go ahead, mate. What do you want to say on tonight's performance?
Rest assured, I'm on water.
Yeah, me too. Cheers.
I have to agree with a lot of what Colin said. I did have to agree with a lot of what Colin said, but I'm just fed up. I was a late comer to Arsenal. I started following Arsenal at the end of George Graham's days, and because I lived in Ireland and we didn't have football as such, I followed my local hometown team, and I joined in the early 90s, and I've never seen this, and I've seen some stuff on some of the Facebook groups and podcasts and stuff that I've been watching over the last few hours. This is the worst side since Terry Neill, people are talking about. And lots of people criticize the manager, Mikel Arteta, and I did comment, say, Harry, don't fuel the fire, don't fuel the Mikel Arteta out thing, because I've blocked so many different posts on some of the groups I run with people starting talking absolute balderdash. See, I kept it polite, balderdash about Mikel Arteta. You know what? You tell me what manager could come in there right now and take over this team and this squad of players and get a tune out of them.
I'll tell you what it is, Fergus. I'll tell you what it is. Let me bring, because we're running out of time, so I'm going to bring Harry in as well. So welcome to the show, Harry. How you doing, mate?
Hi, mate. How you doing?
All good, mate. Bringing you into the conversation because I don't want to leave any caller without getting a chance to speak. So,
cheers, buddy.
Going to what Fergus was saying, the reason why I understand why some Arsenal fans are feeling this way about Mikel Arteta is for a couple of points. First of all, I think a lot of fans were worried when we appointed a manager with no experience. And I think that's a fair worry to have when you're a club as big as Arsenal. And then when you see kind of some, obviously Mikel's going to learn on the job. We know that's going to happen. There are going to be certain points where not only is his team developing, but he's developing as well. But what I think is probably wound people up the most, and when I look at Mikel Arteta, the thing that I can't get my head around is the kind of some of the off the field stuff more than actually the performances on the pitch. Listen, you could spend a whole week preparing for a game. You could have game plans. You could, you know, say you're going to do this, say you're going to do that. But if your players don't execute that, it means nothing. But for me, there are other off the field issues where he's isolated players, where he's frozen out players, where he's caused this kind of, you know, he's trying to give it the, I'm the guy with authority. I'm the big man here.
Harry, we done a match preview. Sorry, other Harry. 2 seconds. We've done a match preview podcast this afternoon. Somebody put a comment up saying that Mikel Arteta is micromanaging the team to an extreme, that the players are playing with fear. Do you think that has any like legs? Do you think they're playing with fear?
I don't think they're playing with fear. I think there's probably a little bit of disharmony behind the scenes, because we've seen some players treated one way and others treated in another. And I think that is where Mikel Arteta is letting himself down more than actually his game plans, his tactics and all of that. I've said it earlier on the show, and Harry, I'll bring you in, mate. I don't know if you agree. I thought that after a couple of disappointing results where he tried to be a bit more expansive, he tried to be a bit more open, tried to play the four at the back, he should have gone back to what served him well up to now, the back three. But whatever you play, if everybody's not on board with you, and I am starting to get the impression that some of the players are not on board. If everybody's on board, just like what happened to Unai Emery, a very vastly experienced manager, you end up, don't you, in a situation where the camp is divided. Aubameyang doesn't look happy at the moment. You know, you got people like Willian who broke the rules, went off to Dubai. That was absolutely fine. No punishment. And then Matteo Guendouzi has a clash with Neil Mopai, gives Arteta a bit of attitude. He's been moved out of the club completely. You know, there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes, I think, at this football club. And every now and again, Mikel Arteta gives us a little inch of that, doesn't he? Gives us a little indication where he says, we've had a lot going on here over the last year or so. Every now and then we get that little bit of a hint from Mikel that actually behind the scenes things aren't great. Harry, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I think it's hard to compare each incident, you know, i.e. Guendouzi v. Willian v. Ozil, because they're all different. So I think he's probably just treated each situation, you know, the best way he can. So if Guendouzi is in Dubai acting like a bit of an idiot against Brighton, he's maybe being a little bit disrespectful. You know, they're pretty strong signs of bad conduct. Whereas Willian may be using a day off to do some commercial activity or whatever. It's slightly different. But I do get what you're saying. I think tactically today, you're bang on the money. If we had three good central midfielders, I totally get it. 4-3-3 all the way. But we don't. In my eyes, we have one, and that's Xhaka. But Xhaka is only good if he has the players in front of him who are creative.
What with Harry's and Xhaka's?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I just think Xhaka gets a lot of stick. And the truth is, where we are at as a club at the moment in the past 3-4 years is below the level. And I don't think that's because of Xhaka. I think it's because of further ahead of the field and then also behind him. I think if you pair Xhaka with a party and a creative midfielder, I think Xhaka's fine. And you're not meant to notice Xhaka. He's meant to sit in there, get the ball for the back four, play through the lines, and that's it. Intercept where he can. You know, I'm not comparing him to a Michael Carrick, but Michael Carrick wasn't a great tackler of the ball, but that didn't matter. He was in the right position and he had players.
I agree. Against Leeds, he was unnoticeable. And yes, you're right. That's how a Gilberto, Xhaka, somebody like that should be. But no, he's not good enough. Well,
would you not all agree that when he is playing in that system with the back three, he doesn't look half as exposed? If you look at the second goal at the second goal tonight where he got turned by Adama Traore, and I said this right at the top of the program, there is no shame in getting skinned by Adama Traore. It happened to Kieran Tierney tonight. It happens to pretty much everybody that he plays against, because physically the guy is from another planet.
He's an absolute weapon.
He's built like a WWE wrestler. and he's like Roadrunner in terms of his pace. It's so difficult to stop him. But if you have that back three and Xhaka gets beaten there, one of your centre-backs can step out and face him. One of your centre-backs can step out, challenge him, block him off, foul him, whatever, and you've still got the other two to deal with the attackers that are making runs forward. In this instance, you see the midfield get beaten, and then we go back to the Emery days, the Wenger days, where you're looking at two Arsenal centre-halves turning back, running towards their own goal, and they can't deal with it. And what do they do? They go to the player. That having that third centre-back allows one of them to go and confront the player. And it doesn't happen in this system. And I don't know if you agree, Harry, Fergus, I can't get my head around whether or not Mikel has become concerned himself by the lack of goals and decided that I want to change this system. If outside noises are influencing him, because, you know, as I've said, every single press conference, the first question is, are you worried about the lack of creativity? Are you worried about the lack of goals? Is that having an impact on him? And maybe if we were talking about somebody more experienced, would they be able to block out that noise?
I expect it's getting very frustrating for him more than anything else. He doesn't seem like a guy who seems to be too bothered about what the press think. He seems very focused, and he seems very focused about the figures, the stats, the how the game progresses. He seems at a higher level than any one of us three on here are about football. And I wouldn't have thought that somebody asking him, does he feel threatened about his job or about lack of creativity or anything like that at a press conference, would bother him too much.
Yeah, I think...
go ahead, Nick, go on.
Yeah, so I think he's, I said it last week, I think he's trying to maybe second guess himself a little bit too much, and he's probably a little bit of paranoia seeking regarding, you know, the creation of chances. Let's not forget, when we were winning games and playing well in the five with the back five, it wasn't the most creative football, but everyone was doing their jobs, and there was the right movement in the right moments, and then Aubameyang was clinical, and sometimes Lacazette was playing really well, holding the ball up, and now we're in a position where our better players just... they're just not at the races, which then makes everything else look incredibly worse.
Do you think, Harry, that maybe Leno, and I'm not having a dig and going the Emi Martinez sort of bandwagon sort of thing. He's gone. He's that ship sailed and everything else. But Leno parries everything onto the penalty spot all the time. He's done it again. I know it was a slight deflection, and there's other people at fault for the goal. But he keeps on parrying balls out. Do you think that exposes our defence, and that's why our defence just feels unsure? He doesn't look great in distribution. He can't do a long pass out. He's average.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, you don't want to go back, but that Leno Martinez decision was wrong for me. But ultimately, Martinez was easier to sell.
You got £20 million for a player that's worth two. So yeah,
Leno would only go to probably another top four club in European football, and they probably would have goalkeepers and don't want to pay 40, 50 million. So, but but in terms of that, I agree with Leno. What I see in Leno is sometimes a timid character. You know, we can hear the audio. We can hear the players shout and talk. And second half, you could hear holding, directing and encouraging. And I don't hear Leno enough. And that's just, you know, my perspective, that I just think, well, I want someone vocal and more demanding of players. And I saw the same tonight from Willian, from Aubameyang, just seasoned professional players, just timid, you know. I don't know. I don't put it down to the contract. I just don't think we're playing well, you know. And for Aubameyang to score in this system, it's got to be, you know, this intricate 20-pass move. And
I think as well,
doesn't get ever get that far. When was the last time Aubameyang was played through one-on-one, you know? Ball through the centre-halves, one-on-one, with a touch, a second touch, and a finish. It's just been absolutely ages since we've seen that, because we're playing such intricate football. And similar to Pep, where Pep comes unstuck, if you don't have exactly the right profile of player, you know, to every inch, then you'll struggle. It's a lot harder to succeed playing Arteta and Guardiola football than it is with Klopp or a Mourinho, because with the Mourinho, you need to be hard to beat, have three central midfielders who are just happy to work hard, fill in for the fullbacks, and give it to Kane and Son, give it to Sterling, Aguero, give it to Klopp, Salah, Mane.
We don't have that.
But you look at that Arsenal front line as well, okay? And you look at Willian, he's coming on a free transfer at a time, to me, it made sense, because I felt like when you looked at our front line, you looked at Pepe, hadn't really hit it off in his first season, did okay, but it was always in flashes. You know, you looked beyond that and you looked at people like Nelson, you looked at people like Saka, Martinelli, and you thought these guys can do a job. But ultimately, there was a real lack of experience beyond the first three. And so I thought the signing of Willian made perfect sense. I didn't agree with the term of the contract, but at the time I thought, you know what, fuck it. If that's what it takes to get Willian in the door on a free transfer, if we're having to give him a year more
sell on value.
Yeah, well, I thought if we're having to give him a year's extra just to get him on board, then you do that. And I'd criticised Arsenal in the past for not going that extra mile when trying to get players that we needed. So I was okay with that. I was happy with that. But he hasn't done it. You know, he produced one really good performance against Fulham on the opening day. I thought he was okay against United. He put a good cross in today for the Gabriel goal. Fair play to him. But other than that, he's been uninspiring. Yeah. Pepe, again, hasn't done it. Bukayo Saka, I thought, was dreadful tonight. But again, we come back to that point. You cannot rely on 18-year-olds still making their way in the game.
He's been overplayed, Harry. He's been overplayed.
He has been overplayed. Yeah. But you can't rely on a youngster. There are very few youngsters that you can rely on week in, week out. And the ones you can rely on week in, week out, they're world-class footballers. You know, and
the only three players that actually looked anyway halfway decent tonight, and even they were average, was Willock, Saka and Nelson.
I thought Saka was pants tonight. I thought that Willock was okay. I thought the energy was right. But for me, the technical abilities is missing. It's not quite there. But
they looked like they had more heart than all the others on the pitch.
Yeah, I agree that they showed endeavour, but I think they had no other choice, you know. I think they would have got a rollicking from the manager and they had to step it up. But if we are relying on Willock and Nelson, and no disrespect to them at all, I'm going to give Saka a free pass because I think potentially, you know, he's going to be a great, great player. But if we're relying on those players to pull us out of a rut, you know, we're in sad times, which is why I'll never criticise Arteta, and I'll completely give this guy a free ride until a few windows where he can spend some money and get some players. But listen,
when does that free ride end? Because I'm trying to ask myself, because I'm getting a little bit frustrated myself with Arteta. I support him, and I'm not. I was never a Wenger out anyway in the first place. But I'm not an Arteta out man. But at what point do we come along and go, hang on a second, we're 14th in the league, we're 8 points from the drop. The way we're going at the moment, Championship, here we come. And that's extreme.
Obviously, it's shit at the moment. But, I mean, if you look at it that way, then, yeah, you know, Arteta's a bomb ticking. But, I mean, we surely would have learned something, that is to be patient, is to give the man time to sign players that he wants. And, you know, I think we're forgetting, I think he wanted to sign a creative midfielder. I think Edu probably said to him, no, let's get a bit of steel in our midfield. Let's get a bit of backbone. We got that in Partey. He's been injured. We've had a few injuries with centre-backs, you know, and full-backs. So it's made it a little bit tougher for him to get that consistency. There's no way in a million years I'm questioning our squad.
It's not even that, guys. It's not even, for me, in answer to your question, Fergus, where you say, where does that free ride end? Well, this is where, for me, you know, you look at some of the other top football clubs in Europe and you look at the people upstairs and you look at the people who are running the football club, and those guys will sit around the table and they will decide whether the bad form is due to the manager, if it's due to the players, if it's due to a combination of both. But the point is that you have football people running the football club who are able to sit there, make a judgment, make an assessment of what is going wrong. At Arsenal, yes, we've got Edu in, but Edu is clearly an ally of Mikel Arteta's. You know, they're like this, the pair of them. So Edu's never going to sit there and honestly, I don't think anyway, honestly sit there and say Mikel's getting it wrong at the moment, et cetera, et cetera. They seem to have formed this alliance whereby they've taken all of the responsibility. They're keeping it in-house. They're going to make the key decisions. They've got control of all these different aspects now that Unai Emery, for example, never had. And to be fair to Unai Emery, as much as I slated him and as much as I thought he was useless during his time at Arsenal, he wanted certain players and he got others dished up to him. That's what happened with Unai Emery. He wanted Wilfred Zaha. He ended up with Nicolas Pepe. He wanted Steven Nzonzi. He got Lucas Torreira. That's just a couple in a long list of players that he publicly stated he wanted and he didn't get them. So where my worry comes is who decides where that free ride ends? Who decides that now we're at a point where it's Mikel Arteta's fault? Now, I'm not saying, again, I want to reiterate the point for those of you joining us later on. I don't want him out yet. I don't want him out. But I worry about the future of this football club because I don't see who there is there who is a football man, who cares only about the club, who will put the club's needs first without protecting their own interests. Edu has shown, with his links to Kia Jurabchan, as Martin points out in the comments, he says Edu's a puppet of Kia Jurabchan. Edu has proven that if something suits him, i.e. let's do a deal with an agent that he likes, an agent that he knows, an agent he has a relationship with, that's the route he will go down. And I feel like he's got that kind of relationship with Arteta as well. So at what point does Edu step back and say, right, it's my job now to say that this guy's not right?
Harry, I'm hearing from a source within the club that I know that all is not rosy in the garden of Edu and Arteta.
Well, there was a couple of reports at the time about the Partey Awar thing, that Edu wanted Partey and Arteta wanted Awar, and that was a little bit of a thing, and that Edu kind of campaigned to the Kroenkes to get the money for Partey, but he didn't do the same for Awar, because ultimately, if we had put £45 million on the table for Houssem Awar, he'd be an Arsenal player. You know, that was around about the figure that was being spoken about, and I'm convinced that the president of Lyon, Jean-Michel Aulas, would have accepted that. So there could be a little bit of discontent, maybe, but I feel like Edu seems to be agenda driven, based on what we've seen so far. He's got his favourites, he's got his ideas, and that's it. But Mikel Arteta,
that's a strong claim to make.
Well, I feel like that's the case. I feel like Edu does what suits him. I feel like Mikel Arteta suits him because in most issues, they appear to be singing off of the same hymn sheet. So let's see where it goes. But when you said about the free ride, I think it's a great point. The problem is, who is the one that is going to say at some point, Mikel's not our man anymore, we need to make a change?
I don't know. Let Russ Morgan know in the chat that sources is my accent, not sources as in brown or red.
Let's just not forget the quality of the team is so much lower than what it should be. If you say to yourself, how many players starting tonight or how many players that finish the game for Arsenal would get into Wolves' team, you know, you're not talking many. Even with the Leicester game and then with Villa players, you'd argue that McGinn, Grealish, Watkins, all of these players, you know, could battle for a place. So the standards have dropped massively. And I really think that any manager would struggle long-term 100%. At this club with the current players. And I'll tell you, he got the rise, he got the cup run, he found out a way to beat these, to City and Liverpool and Chelsea, sit deep, soak it up, go on the counter. He's got found out, essentially. He's tried to flip it, and we don't have good enough players. Nelson's, Willocks, Ceballos, there's so many. They're not at the requirement.
Harry, you know that most of those players would not get into a top league side. And you're comparing us with McGinn's and...
Yeah,
players that will play for
Southampton,
we're thinking, would they get into our squad? And they're better than our squad.
Unfortunately, man.
Just conscious of time, guys. I'm just going to ask you guys one final question, and I'm gonna bring up something to help me out on this. So, a lot of us wanted Wenger out by the end. I was one of those people that felt like it was time
for the better of Wenger and the better of the club. Yes.
Yeah. I was at the point where I wanted to see Arsene Wenger move on. I wasn't one of those guys that sat here screaming and shouting, cursing the guy, calling him every name under the sun, because I've got too much respect for Arsene Wenger and I can't do that. I've just noticed I put a beer on top of his book. Jesus, I better move that. That's not the respect, is it? My God. but yeah. So at the time of Arsene Wenger's departure, okay, I'm looking at the squad list, right? There was Lauren Koscielny, Perma Asaka.
Don't do it.
Jack Wilshere, Mesut Ozil, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, players like Nacho Monreal, Santi Cazorla. You know, I'm looking through that group of players. Even somebody like Danny Welbeck is in there. I know he had his injury problems, whatever. I know a lot of those players had their injury problems. But at this point, simple yes or no, Starting with you, Harry, do you think that Arsenal now are in a worse position, having been managed by Unai Emery and now Mikel Arteta, in terms of the quality of our squad than we were when Arsene Wenger left it?
1,000%. And that's why I was totally against Emery, because I think a lot of the players fell out of love with playing football. And I think Koscielny, Rush's departure, Monreal, who was such a consistent player and who even now would still be a consistent squad player. He almost ushered those players out or didn't convince them to stay. So I think we are 1,000 times worse. And quickly, I watched a random game on YouTube the other day. It was a Europa League game at home. I think it was towards the end of Wenger's era. And I was just watching us play. It was an awful team at home. But still, there was Mkhitaryan and Wilshere and Ramsey and Ozil and maybe even Theo. And I just watched the football and there was so much movement and just dynamic play. And we are so far off that. And even though the likes of Mkhitaryan and Wilshere injury prone and they weren't consistent enough, we are missing that identity of a 5'7" to 5'10" player who can pick up the ball deep and can probably play left mid, centre mid, right mid, who can score, assist. We are missing that. And we are miles off in terms of squad quality compared to Wenger and even Emery. We are miles off, which is why you've got to give Arteta time and the money to turn it around. And if you don't have the money, or you don't have the time, then just get ready for some really depressing times ahead, where you'll just be moaning every week and getting annoyed and criticising players who are trying their hardest but who ultimately aren't good enough. If Reece Nelson can't take a corner that beats the first man and couldn't do it like four times on Thursday or whenever he came on and couldn't do it tonight, and Willock is, you know, just running around but not affecting the game, and Sabas is running around but not affecting the game, and Holding is still making his little mistakes here and there, and Leno's not being good enough, and all these players, you know, it's just going to happen all the time. So buckle up for the ride. It's going to be a long and depressing one.
Fergus said, just finally, mate, do you feel like we've regressed since Arsene's departure? Are we worse now than we were at his lowest point?
Absolutely. Anybody who says we're not is deluded. I wasn't a Wenger out sort of guy. I thought Emery, when he first came in, gave us some sort of identity to start off with. We had a pressing game. We had that 20 game unbeaten run. And we looked like we were building something. I think his command of the language, and then he lost the dressing room, particularly in Baku. There was a big row in the dressing room at halftime. It was his downfall. What Arteta's inherited was a team that's 5, 6, 7 times worse than what Wenger departed. He has inherited probably an average championship side, maybe a good championship side.
Would you go that far? Championship
side? Yeah.
I think that's a bit strong.
Seriously? Did you see what we played tonight? What are you expecting next weekend? I'm expecting
I don't expect Arsenal to get relegated, so I couldn't say championship side. I think that's a bit strong, but yeah, I get where you're coming from. We're not good enough.
But look at Leeds. Look at Sheffield United. Look at all these teams that come up from the Championship into the Premiership, and they perform reasonably well, and they go back down again. West Brom. We're not much better than them.
Leeds. No, we're not. We're not at this current moment, but I still. You know, you look at Leeds, and Leeds have invested significantly this summer. They brought a load of players in because they knew that the step up was massive. I do think that we're way off where we need to be. I wouldn't say it's championship level, but okay. I think we're in a bad way. We're in a bad way.
I'm not in a good mood, Harry. That's all
it is. Right, guys. We're going to leave it there because we were supposed to go to 11. It's nearly half 11. I've got to get up at the crack of dawn. But yeah.
She's a lovely lady.
Thank you to every single one of you for joining us tonight. Thank you to all our callers, everybody that's been in the live chat, everybody that's even tuned in for a couple of minutes, everybody that's going to listen to it back tomorrow on audio format. Don't forget to smash the like button before you leave. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And check out 90 Min as well. We'll be back very, very soon.
Check out Harry on 5 Live. You were on 5 Live and you held up a program that was dreadful. You made that program halfway decent, Harry, honestly.
Thank you, mate. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll be back on there in a few weeks' time, so I'll let you guys know via Twitter. Check it out. We'll be back very soon. Until then, take care, stay safe, and don't get too depressed. All the best.
Take it easy, boys.
Good night.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.